are going to be in this room, just a quick word. This is Gary Spieler, GCE type person, youth minister at Concordia Kirkwood. Gary's been there about 2 years, coming up on 2 years. And this is my youth minister. I'm a member of Concordia Kirkwood. Gary also happens to be born on December 10th, which is also the day I was born on in the same year, but different mother.
I'm glad of that. Okay. I'd like, I guess if I could ask you to move a little closer, if that's not too threatening to you.
He lives me today. Take one of these and pass around.
I think we've got enough stuff here for everybody. Instructions are to stay close to this thing. I guess Big Brother is watching me, so. I'd like to start with maybe just a little cartoon to help you see where, if you can see it, not too bad. It's kind of a resource that I've just come across in the last few years, well, actually the last year. It's called Leadership Magazine. It doesn't help you particularly with the retreats, but it's I like the cartoons in it. And this one says, if you can't read it, Reverend Peterson is in the Holy Land, the youth pastor is under the church bus, and the minister of music is in jail for photocopying music, and you want to talk to the janitor. This kind of sums up our congregation sometimes with our staffing, and I thought it might give you a little insight into where we are. Well, retreats. What is a retreat? And I guess that's where we probably ought to start, is what you think a retreat is. I see three, maybe more areas or terms that are used when we talk about this concept of retreat. Some use the term camp, some use the term retreat, and some use the term lock-in. They can all be different, but they all kind of fall in that same umbrella of extended time activities. And the yellow paper I passed around, did everybody get one of those? That's not the Bible on retreats, but maybe to give you some insight. But the extended time activities is kind of how I like to think about it. Events that happen for a selected period of time and longer than the 2 or 3 hours that you might get together on a normal basis. Well, today we want to look at lock-ins and retreats specifically. One of the things I guess we need to look at is some ways of planning. And here's one that I took out of Resources for Youth Ministry. And I'll show you those resources in a little bit, some of them. But this is one method. I'd like to ask you a question. Why plan? Why plan a retreat? What could happen if you don't plan a retreat? Fall apart, a disaster? Okay, that's what we're going to look at in a minute. You have a goal and you plan. Okay, nothing gets done but fun. Just give you a couple examples, some from my experience and some from others. One leader took a group of kids. They got off the bus, no direction. They went running. They decided to pull them together for a few minutes for a devotion. Got them together. Took them 15, 20 minutes to get them together, pull them out of the woods and whatever. And he wasn't too planned. He wanted to have a devotion, so he gets them together and says, okay, the devotion tonight is, I didn't plan it real well. And he admitted that. He said, so what we're going to do is, I want you to go out into the woods by yourself or with a partner and meditate. Well, needless to say, that's probably the wrong way to approach it, huh? But that's a true story. And I guess we've all been guilty to some extent of poor planning. Yeah, if you don't plan, you can expect the worst. I guess another little rule I'd like to have you think about is assume nothing. And maybe this applies to all youth ministry, I think especially to retreat, to the publicity, to the setting up. Assume nothing. Don't assume because you've talked about it for 5 weeks in a row in the confirmation class that you're going to get all of the kids there. Don't assume because you've had it written up in the church newsletter or the bulletin for a month in a row that it's, people know about it. I guess I'm learning that the hard way more and more each day. We have in our parish a weekly newsletter, the weekly bulletin, and a monthly newsletter. And still we have people saying, I didn't know about that. So communications is a problem, so assume nothing. Well, let's get into retreats a little bit. This is one method, kind of a stair-step method, so why, who, what kind, and so forth. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this one, but I'd like to just have you see what it is. I'd like to have you refer to the thing I passed out, and here it is in transparency form. I think the first thing you have to remember is you need to start a long time in advance. Now, what's a long time? That depends. I'll be real blunt with you. A long time might be a month, might be 2 months. A lot of places suggest 3 months in advance is when you start thinking about a retreat. I guess from my experience, as far as locking in a location and a date, you might even take a year's advance planning. A lot of the sites that we deal with are booked up a year in advance, especially if you have a certain date that you want. You may have to be looking that far ahead. So those are things to consider. You may not have to start the actual planning of the program that far ahead, but you need to at least start thinking about some of the aspects of it, some of the site locations and staff and so forth. And I guess I'm finding more and more for staffing a retreat, you have to plan ahead because we have people who are busy. And usually a person won't turn you down if you ask them 6 months in advance. And will you help me out with the retreat in December? Oh, yeah, you know. Sure, no problem. Then you have to follow up on that because they'll forget about it. But long-range planning, I guess, is a key here. Well, let's take a look at some things that I think are important. Maybe you can add some things later. The purpose needs to be set in some way, shape, or form. You need to decide what you want to do with this event. Now, here are some suggestions of purpose. There's a lot of other purposes that you may come up with. But, you know, do you want it to be a community building event for the kids to get to know each other? Do you want it to be fun? You know, romp in the woods. Do you want to plan a specific event? I know some groups that use retreats and lock-ins to plan a youth worship or to plan their next year's activities, whatever. Do you want it to be a different lifestyle experience? Take a bunch of kids from the country and go into the city, or vice versa. That can be a retreat. Worship in a different way. Okay? Instead of the worship within the structured parish, do you want to take them out into the country for a while, or do you want to take them into the city to worship in a larger church? All possibilities. This last one, F, is kind of a catch-all. You want to teach them specific spiritual concepts, you know, peace, love, joy, fellowship. We use retreats for junior highs for teaching one of the six chief parts of the catechism. We have six over a two-year span, and each one we teach a different part of the catechism, different part of the six chief parts. I get that straight? Okay. And the objective, and I guess I've kind of ranked them in what I think are their importance, although they're all important. The objective, I think, needs to be set, and a lot of times that's missing. Just let me refer to a minute here to an example of an objective. Now, this is not the best objective, but it's an objective. Part of circle in green. Okay, this lock-in will be held at Concordia. That's our church. The theme of this retreat is the Ten Commandments. It's our hope that through this retreat, you will gain a better understanding of the Ten Commandments and their application to your life. Well, what's the weak part of that? You see any weakness in that objective? Yeah, possibly a little. But it's an objective. I guess it's a place to start. Probably, if you're really into behavioral objectives, you'd want to make it more specific and more measurable. But I don't think that it's too bad. It works for our purpose. For the group that we work with, the 7th and 8th graders in our retreat setting, that may be specific enough. Now, how to measure that, I guess, comes out in your evaluation and how you see what you've done with them over that period of time. But start someplace. Have a purpose and an objective of what you want to accomplish. Even if it's broad, have something, preferably written down, and preferably in the hands of the people who are going to be part of the retreat. Okay, this is a part of a letter that gets mailed out to all the participants. Here was another one. Okay, the retreat is entitled Coming Lord in Word and Water. We'll be working on our understanding of baptism through Bible study, activities, and Christian living. We'll be gaining a better understanding of baptism. Okay? At least tells them they're going to be working with the concept of baptism. And the one that kind of refers to the rest of the materials I'll be using, I've kind of gleaned this from a retreat we just did. This is the objective that we used. I had to reprint it because the original stuff was not printable. Each participant will gain a greater personal understanding of the Lord's Supper, especially in the areas of forgiveness meal, a community meal, a pastoral meal, and a love feast. Those were the four areas we wanted to hit on, and we hope that through the retreat, through the weekend, they would come out with those understandings. Okay, well, get back to this for a minute. Can you think of the worst retreat you've ever been on? How many of you have never been on a retreat? Maybe I'll start there. Never been on a retreat. Okay. How about a lock-in or something similar to that? No? All right. I guess we're starting at base zero or something. That's okay. For those of you who have been on a retreat, what do you think is the worst thing you've ever experienced in a retreat? Can you map that out? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's something I guess we all can be guilty of. And I think maybe as you go out, that's something you need to be aware of. Your responsibility to the whole group. It's real easy to think of your personal needs and the people who really fit into your personal little niche. And it's easy to, as you say, shaft the others. And it can happen. Yeah, good point. I guess that's where you come into the whole picture, is you have to be the leader, the director, the mover. And if you don't feel real comfortable with that role, you better get somebody who does feel comfortable with it. If you just go and let it happen, my fear is that it's just going to happen and not necessarily what you want. You have to know where you want to go, and you have to be willing and at least trying to be able to make it move in that direction. Let's just hop down here a little bit. What age group are you aiming at? Now, retreats are not, I don't think you should be scared of age with this. We work with just about all age groups. We have a vacation Bible school camp, which is a three-day experience for kids who are under seventh grade. We run confirmation retreats, which are obviously for 12, 13, 14 year olds. We work with a senior high group in retreat settings. We're in the process of a family retreat. I don't think you need to be scared away by ages and say, well, retreats are only for this age limit. They're not. I think it can be for anyone. Okay? I haven't defined a retreat real closely, and I hope that doesn't bother any of you, because I see it as a real broad thing. Anytime you're getting away from your down-home setting, I think that can be a retreat. Well, okay, the date, I mentioned that a little bit before. The only thing I think you need to watch out for here is conflicts, big conflicts. You're not going to be able to plan around all conflicts. It might be helpful if when you're planning a date, you look at a calendar and say, okay, is it close to a holiday? Is it, could it conflict with some school activities? And there you may have to look at some activity calendars from some of the local high schools. You're not going to be able to plan around at all. You may have to make some decisions. You know, is it okay to do it in the same day as a football game, but maybe I better steer away from homecoming day or prom night or something like that. And that's where it's helpful to get the kids' input, although they don't always know either, so assume nothing, remember? Okay, so lock in a date. And it might be more or less critical. If you want to do a Reformation retreat, then you might want to schedule it somewhere around Reformation. So you may want to keep that in mind. Okay, the location. I just made some brief announcements here about the location. Look at sites available to you. Don't just think in one direction of camps. Camps are nice, but that's not all there is available. There's retreat centers, depending on the size of your city. And St. Louis, there's three or four that I'm aware of, most of which are ex-nunneries. So, but they're okay. They're good sites, good food, nice surroundings. That may be what you want. Rather confined. Usually have some pretty nice facilities. Look around. And I guess one thing you have to be aware of here is don't be locked into it being Lutheran, because not everywhere are there Lutheran camps. In some places they're pretty hard to find. Some places they're pretty easy, but just depends on where you're going to be. Okay, your church, a lock-in possibly. There's nothing wrong with your home turf. Maybe you've got the facilities there to do something, to pull something off. Other institutions or nearby institutions. Sometimes colleges, small colleges, even large colleges have non-used space that they're willing to rent out or whatever. We bring our group here sometimes in the fall and use the facility. So there are other possibilities, and maybe you can think of some others. Any thoughts? Maybe just a camp at a state park. That's what I'm going to do in a few weeks with my senior high group. I'm going to take a day retreat over to Pierre Marquette in Illinois. It doesn't have to be something elaborate or something expensive. Okay, some other considerations under location. How will a site help me accomplish the purpose? Remember, you have to go back up to these first two items, I think, the one and two, your purpose and your objective. Is a site going to be conducive to that, or is it going to be non-productive? If I really got a tight purpose and I don't see a lot of time for romping in the woods, then why, for Pete's sake, go to a camp where you're surrounded by woods? It just doesn't fit. You know, why waste the time and the money to be in a beautiful surrounding where you're not going to be using it? I guess that's my opinion. You may differ on that. But I think that's a consideration. Okay, the cost, again, is a factor. And just a little side on that, we're experimenting with a way of funding these things that you might want to take a look at. We're, for lack of a better term, we're calling it the marriage encounter way, but as I understand it, how they fund their events, at least most of them, is they say, here's the cost to us. It costs us X amount of money. How much can you afford? How much of this can you pay? Now, that's assuming, obviously, that you have the money to back it up for those who can't. And what we're going to add to that is, here's what it costs. How much can you pay? Could you pay more to help assist someone else in doing this event? So those are things to consider. Camperships, scholarship funds, depends on what kind of budget you have to work with, maybe areas to look at. Try not to exclude people from it. I guess that's the key, if at all possible. Okay, transportation is another consideration. You may not think about it, but if you're going to take kids by bus, even if the church has its own transportation, it can get rather expensive. Now, we have to rent a bus just to go out 60 miles, and it costs us about around $110 round trip. So, that's for an overnight thing. So cost there can be a problem, too. So you may want to consider that. Okay, let's bop down to number six here. The program. Now, this is probably, to me, the area where the rubber meets the road. You've got the objectives. Maybe you've stated them. You know the purpose you want to go. Now, how are you going to make that work? Let's take a look here at just some gleanings from retreat we just did a few weeks ago, April 23 and 24. That was the title of it. Here's the schedule. This was a Friday and Saturday experience, about 24 hours. I think the schedule has to meet your objective. Remember, our objective was to help them grow in those four areas of understanding the Lord's Supper. And as you look through, I think you can kind of pick some of the things out. Friday night is always kind of a up-for-grabs night, but 8:45, we start with the concept of Passover and the Lord's Supper, the connection. Okay? Some games, some snacks, and evening worship, and then, you know, the kind of the basics, lights out and so forth. Okay, 8 o'clock on Saturday morning, you start again, you have a morning worship. We go through the words of institution, take a look at some impressions of Holy Communion, and then we work them into some projects. And maybe I can just show you some gleanings here. Before we get too far into that, I have two things here that won't mean anything to you, except maybe they'll show you one thing. You need to plan ahead. Okay, we broke the kids up into family groups. And I think we did this ahead of time. Didn't wait till we got there and let them choose the cabins. Now, you may like that, and you may feel comfortable with that. Go ahead and do it. We feel a little bit more comfortable in assigning the kids for a couple reasons. We have kids that go to our Christian day school. We have others that don't. And we'd like to get them mixed. Some are good leaders. Some are good followers. I think we'd like to mix them up for that reason, too. So, and this is another thing that shows the same thing. Again, the cabin assignments, the family assignments, I think needs to be done ahead of time, but you may differ on that. Well, oops, kind of a blank wall there. Okay, so in your program, in your scheduling of events, make sure it meets your purpose. Look at 6B, structured versus non-structured. Now, I guess I used to be more non-structured. And I'd have a bag of tricks hanging in a box, you know, a bunch of stuff that I was going to use, but no real definite schedule. I knew I had a rough schedule in my mind, but I wasn't going to let anybody else know about it. And I guess there's some advantage to that. As I look back, I can't say it was all bad. But sometimes what I think was missed was the continuity, that ribbon tying the whole experience together. It was more or less a shotgun approach, you know. Here's something, here's something, here's something. And it wasn't a ribbon, you know, tying it all together. Maybe the objective at that point in time was weak. Yeah?
With something like this, I'm trying to figure out your timeline, if you have it. Is there something
else?
Okay.
If you can hold off on that just for a few minutes, I guess I wanted to get in that very thing, the whole idea of flexibility and sensing the group, and that's, we'll come back to that if you don't mind. Okay, leadership, I'd like to bounce off to. Just take here's a cartoon that may help you think about it. Is this the way you select leaders for a group? You know, flip a coin. In some places, you know, the bane of all banes is to have to go with the youth on a retreat. You know, I don't want to stay up to 3 o'clock in the morning. I don't want to tromp through the woods. I hate swimming. I get a terrible sunburn. I'm allergic to ticks and poison ivy and everything else. I don't want to go. Well, you know, hopefully you won't pick leaders in this way. And I like to think of anybody who goes along on the retreat as being a leader. Some may differ with that, but I guess I'm kind of moving in my mind out of the chaperone function. Don't take along chaperones. At least I would say that. Take along people who are going to help you lead, facilitate. If all you're doing is bringing along somebody to sit and ride herd in the kids, probably can find somebody and use their time better. Involve them, and they'll reward you greatly. Last 2 weeks ago, whenever we did this retreat, April 23 and 24, took along three professional staff and four, five lay people. Did a fine job. And they didn't just sit around, you know, and sit in the small groups when we had them, but we made them an integral part of it. They led some of the programs. Maybe we did the more theological stuff, but they did some of the neat things, the arts and crafts stuff, some ways of getting them to see from a personal point of view. You know, they're real people also. So think about that. And here's another cartoon, just to keep you loose here. Don't wait for the right person to ask you, I guess is the message I'd have to convey. Don't wait for Mrs. Smith. You think Mrs. Smith is dynamic? Am I backwards here?
Yeah. Okay.
Don't wait for Mrs. Smith to call you. You call her. Volunteers sometimes need to be asked. So think about that. If you think you've located somebody who would really be great, ask them. Okay.
Square eight.
Okay, the materials that you use, and there's a wide range of stuff that you can do. You know, and there again, you have to assess what you have and what you don't have. Do you have music ability? Fine. You know, can you get somebody who has it? Fine. Bring them along. Plug that in. Now, I'm real fortunate. We've got Dave Christian on our staff, and he's a music man. Does a great job and has the ability to work with kids and also to teach them some of the songs of the church in a way that they don't hate. I think that's important. It works out for us, but we're probably more blessed than a lot of staffs would be. Use the talents that you have to make out your program. Your materials, then, lots of them available. I brought along two today. It's kind of a plug for Board of Youth Services. This one is an oldie but a relatively goodie. It's from 1974. You might even get a copy of it. It's called Retreats, R.E. Retreats, 74.2, and it's available from Board of Youth Services downtown. Here's another, a little bit more recent one that we use as the model for our confirmation retreats. It's from 1977.3, third quarter, and it's called Junior High Retreats. I tried to get copies of these for you today, but they didn't have them in that number, at least at this point in time. Both of these, I think, will stay in print because they're pretty much the, pretty well-accepted piece within our church. And there are others from other bodies that I didn't bring along, but glean programs wherever you want. Maybe just a kernel idea would be all you need. You don't need to have a schedule because you're going to make out your own schedule. Yeah, Russ? You will? Okay. That's why I couldn't pass them out. Okay. Okay. Number nine, the publicity. Well, before we move to that, let me just show you a few things on material that might help you to see. Okay, here's what we did. On one of the things we did on Friday night with a group. Complete the following prayers to share with your group. Okay? This was a small group thing. And we brought them together in their small groups, and they had their opening prayer with each other. Part of the program. Now, this we've more or less developed ourselves. You know, it's nothing fancy. This is the Bible study on the Passover. Okay? Starting with the birthday image. And we just moved on from there. I don't want to bore you with the details here. But let's take a look at the next section here. Publicity. Again, I think it needs to be good publicity, out early. What's early again? At least have a date known to the kids, to the people who are going to be participating, I'd say a good 3 months in advance. We set up our confirmation retreats a year in advance. We get the dates to them so they know them that far in advance. Here are the dates for the confirmation retreats from 1982. And we still have goof-ups there. So expect that. Okay, let's take a look at the registration form. I'm a little bit out of sync here because I... Give me a second to find it. If I can find it. Probably can't. No, I don't. So this was also a registration form, and I guess something you need to look at and keep in mind is just a few things. This one might be a little bit better. I think the information you want to get from the parents is, yes, I know that my kid's going with you. I know when it's going to be. I know where it's going to be. I know how I can get a hold of you if there's a family emergency. And I've signed it. And when we go away from our site, we like to get permission for our medical emergency medical treatment. Some hospitals won't accept that. So be aware of that. I think the best thing to do there is to check it out in your local area. If you have a lawyer in the congregation, talk with him and see what the responsibility laws in your state are. It depends. Don't be confused. Just because the parent signed this doesn't release you of responsibility, okay? It doesn't work that way. Even if you say, you know, we are not responsible for, you know, jammed toes or broken bones, you are in most states. Okay. But those are some things I think you need to consider. And the evaluation, I think, is a real important part of any weekend. We called it a reflection sheet. We had three of them at this particular retreat. This one was to see if we met our goals and objectives with the kids. What did you learn? Something I have learned about myself, about my Lord, something I'll think about next time I go to the Lord's Supper at a communion service, something I still wonder about, other thoughts. Talked about these, and I guess one of the things I think about in evaluation is it needs to be short, yet it also has to have some verbal feedback. You need to be able to talk about it a little bit. Even if you're going to collect them, have some verbal feedback, because some kids learn in different ways. Now, to answer your question from a while ago, I think that kind of leads me into this whole concept of doing what needs to be done. If you've got a 45-minute chunk of time planned, and you see that after 20 minutes it's going bonkers, it didn't work out the way you think it's going to work out, you're going to have to change it somehow. Now, either that means changing the schedule and just saying we're going to move on to the next thing, or it means pulling something out of the old hip pocket and throwing it in there, you know, to make it go. You have to check where the kids are. And I don't think that you should always use that as the rule, though. Just because they aren't participating doesn't necessarily mean that they are not learning. I guess some of that depends on the time. Some of that also depends on the material. And different kids learn in different ways. Realize that. Don't expect them all to really get into the arts and crafty thing. Don't expect them all to be great singers. That's where the personal evaluation is handy. Because it lets you know where each person was during the weekend. And if they gleaned one thing out of it, you were a success. The retreat was a success. Time for verbal feedback, I think, is real important. If I could just move in for a minute into lock-ins. By the way, if you have any questions, shoot them. Okay, a lock-in, backwards. Yes. Nah. I think that if you look at the basic format I gave you, I think is the format that you would say is the standard format. Whether it all depends on what you do with it. Now, these two books are some good ones, but to say it's going to work with every group, or to say there's one that's the greatest one that ever came out of tubes, no, I don't think so. If you take one straight out of here and use it with one group, it might flop miserably. Use it with another group, it might be the greatest experience they ever had. I think the key to it is just be awake. You know, look for good stuff. Look for ways that you can plug into the program. Yeah?
How much of a say do you use it at the kids' time?
Depends. I think there's some good things, there's some dangers there. To me, the good thing is involvement, ownership. The bad thing is, or the danger, I shouldn't say it's bad. The danger is that they have their own agenda. And I brought a little cartoon along that might help illustrate that a little bit. Now, the hidden agenda routine. All right. If you want it to be a growth experience, and that's the wish of your congregation, you're going to have to get people planning it to have that same mindset. Kids can, kids do, but there's also the danger you have to be ready to veto if necessary. And I guess it's a trust relationship. Don't be afraid to do it, but don't be afraid to step in and veto it either. If it's going to be a retreat on the large supper, and you know, Junior here's got this agenda, and you're thinking that's not quite on my list of things to do, then you're going to have some problem. So make that clear from the start, I guess, is kind of who's in charge of the committee. And don't be afraid to exert your leadership. I don't want to use authority, but use the word leadership. If you want to get something good accomplished, it's got to be well planned and well led. I know. That's why I got to get one more thing in here. Kind of goes back to your concept of yourself. If it says, we call this a youth pastor's junior high fun night special. You have to know your own expectations and your own abilities. If you can't stay up to 3 o'clock in the morning at a lock-in, don't do it. You know, organize it. Have people who will. If that's what the kids need and want, have some other people who can do it. If you got to get your beauty sleep, get it. If you can't traipse off through the woods because you're desperately allergic to poison ivy, you can see it from a distance, don't do it. Now, don't feel that you have to be some kind of superhuman person to lead a retreat and meet all of their expectations. You have to be a part of it, too, and that's where the leadership comes in. The lock-in, I was told I had to say something about lock-in, so I'll say something real quick. It's a narrower focus. It's a retreat in a narrow setting. Shorter time period in a confined space. And I guess most of my lock-ins happen on home turf, and I guess this is more of a word of caution and warning than it is anything else. When you're on home turf, the kids probably know the building better than you do. So and be aware of that. Don't be afraid of it, but be aware that you're on their home turf as well as your own. If you have some questions, maybe we can shoot the breeze in the pastime. I think otherwise we're getting the rush here. So, thank you. Hope this is helpful. I know they're passing out some other stuff later, so you can get your hands on those two things real, real good. The resource is going to get later from them, I think. Yeah. Thank you.